Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 39 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. The B-Man, the People's Degenerate. I was editing episode 38, and I was not happy with my performance there. I felt as though I was rambling too much, repeating points over and over again. It felt all discombobulated, which is how my mind works, but I like to be more concise when I bring it out to you all in the Internet. So I'm going to try to be better going forward, and my apologies for last episode. All you can do is try to get better, and I'm not going to quit. Like, we're two balls deep into Verbal Graffiti as it is. I got another 4 years before I hang up the Nikes and move on to another project. So yeah, that's what my thoughts as far as that goes. I've had this other concept I've been working on stage of late the last couple of weeks. It's not so much a bit, just I've been speaking out loud. It's been getting a good response. I don't really have punchlines for it yet, but I just want to talk it out a little bit more. So I'm going to do that right now. I'm a big believer that we're all a product of our environment. Now, how much that weighs into who we are, I don't really know. I do think as a child, though, that your environment is much more important and does have an effect on who you are going forward in life. And me, I am an Irish Catholic. I'm the youngest of five. Both my parents stayed together. I grew up in a three-bedroom house with all of them, all on the top floor. I shared a bunk bed with my older brother, Kevin. And when you're in that type of environment, and when I was coming of age and I began masturbating, I had to be very quiet because I had my brother below me in a bunk bed. I had, you know, my sisters and my parents in the bedrooms right next to me, and I didn't want to get caught. But, you know, when you're going through puberty, you're super horny, so you're going to do what you got to do. And I did so very quietly. But now as an adult, I've been doing a lot of research on YouTube and other online sources because I'm trying to become a better lovemaker. And I'm starting to realize that to be a better lovemaker, I need to make noise during sex, like grunting noises and oohs and ahs. And I am a silent comer. Like, when I ejaculate, no noise at all. There have been numerous times where I've been with a babe consensually and she's asked me, did you come? And I'll be like, yeah, like 90 seconds ago. Like, I'm done. Like, let's spoon. I love spooning. So, but it's a complete reversal of who I am. So now when I'm masturbating alone, I'm trying to make grunting noises while I do so, which is very awkward for me because I don't know how long or how elongated the grunt noises should be. And then when I ejaculate, I'm trying to make it like a louder, ooh, kind of fireworky noise, but I don't know like the octane level, how high and how extended it should be. So I'm playing around with it by myself. So hopefully next time I make like real sex, it will be better than it has been in my previous or our previous experiences. So it's kind of a mind fuck. But again, I'm trying to become a better person. And this is just one other avenue in which I'm currently working on. Now that I've shared that awkward information with you, let's get into a Reddit post I found. This one, again, comes from, if I can open my phone, the subreddit Insane People Facebook. Great Reddit group. Go check it out. A disgruntled customer thinks an ice cream truck driver is restarted. I believe she means retarded, but just, you know. Okay. Fuck you. We asked you to wait for our kids and you just drove off, you fat, retarded fucking piece of shit. Way to make kids' days by hearing your truck then driving away. Now here's the driver's response to that message. Hi, thanks for contacting us. We've received your message and appreciate you reaching out. That's nice of you to say that. Smiley face emoji. You told me if I wasn't going to put my truck in reverse and pull it into your driveway, then I don't want your business and to leave. Before any amount of business anyone could possibly give me, I put children's safety first. It is simply not safe to put an ice cream truck into reverse and back 300 feet down the road into a driveway. Sorry. This response, it warms my heart. Like, symbolically, it feels like a weighted blanket draped over my soul, because this is exactly how I deal with conflict. I'm not a yeller. I'm not a screamer. I kill with kindness, with passive aggressiveness. And this response by the ice cream truck driver here, it's oozing, it's dripping, it's drenched with passive aggressive kindness that it makes me almost feel tingly. It's like orgasmic reading it. Here's the thing. This is exactly how I would respond in his situation. For me, I'll give you an example. I get heckled all the time doing stand-up because I do it. I perform a lot in small bars and restaurants and venues. So there's always drunks who like didn't know there was going to be comedy, and they'll get angered and they'll yell at me and the other comics. But I don't yell back. I don't go code red. It's usually like a white drunk lady. I don't raise the red card and go right into her and tell her that she deserves to have a bottle rocket stuffed up her hairy cunt and have it explode up there. No, that's not what the B-man does on stage. I do almost the exact opposite. What I'll do is I'll kill her with kindness. What I do is when there's a heckler, I'll compliment her and I'll engage with her in a flirtatious manner for upwards of a minute or two. And she'll be so drunk and so low IQ that she's too dumb to realize what has happened. And what has happened is I have turned her, I have molded that heckler into my muse, because she'll never be as witty or as charming as I'll be. And she'll be so confused, and everyone in the audience, for the most part, will be on my side against this drunk. And I'll just look at her, and with my eyes, after like, she doesn't know how to respond, I'll give her a look as if to say, "Shh, buttercup, be quiet and continue to sip on your Moscow Mule and enjoy the rest of the show." And whenever there's a lull in my performance and there's a bit of downtrodden, I'm not getting enough laughs, I'll go right back to her. She's my muse. I know she's drunk. I know I could fiddle her and pull some, extract some laughs out of her. And it's fun. Like, it makes comedy fun. Everybody's like, "Oh no, it's a heckler. What you gonna do?" I make mental love to that lady. And it's one of the most fulfilling, enjoyable things for me to do as a comedian. And this guy, this ice cream truck driver, he's doing like his version of what I do is what he's doing. Does that make sense? Like, this is, dude, that message is basically, it was a veiled "fuck you, sister" to the house owner right there. Like, basically, this guy, his job as an ice cream truck driver is to feed kids thousands of calories of sugar. You think he really gives a fuck about children? But that was his message. Like, "Oh, I don't want to back into your driveway and risk." He's like, "I would love to back up into your driveway and give your kids a cherry screwball or a choco taco, but I can't because I care about their safety." No, he doesn't. It's just, he's giving you a written "fuck you," and I love all of it. I want to read it again and again and again. I will say, just kind of expanding on the ice cream truck response, I love ice cream trucks. When I was a kid, I grew up in a suburban neighborhood that was very similar to the movie Sandlot, if you've ever seen that. It was infested with boys, maybe like 10 to 15 of us, and I'm not exaggerating with that number. So we had this ice cream truck driver. His name was Vinny. I very distinctly remember him because we had one summer where he would come every day. We were playing wiffle ball, like in our parents' backyard. We'd hear the truck, you know, the music playing. He would come up the street. He would stop. We would run out. they would have money. We'd buy the screwballs and all the ice cream. And Vinny was such a cool guy. He always wore cool shades, and he would take, like, you know, the ice cream truck window where he peeps out of, like, he would always have candy, like fireballs and gumballs. And he would throw them into the lawn. And it was almost like an Easter egg hunt where he would just throw them, and with the ice cream we paid for, we'd have like handfuls of candy. So many Airheads, so many free Airheads he gave us. Vinny hooked us up. Oh man, that may be the best summer of my life. But like that's where my love affair with ice cream trucks began. It's kind of, if comedy continues to fail and verbal graffiti fails, I'm not lying. Like, ice cream truck driver, it is on the table to be my next project. I would love to be an ice cream truck driver. Just chill, listen to some tunes, driving slow. You turn the corner, the kids hear the music. Like, you're Superman to them. You ride up, you give them whatever ice cream they want. I'd be like Vinny. Yeah, here's an Airhead. Here's a hot tamale. Here you go. You know, maybe you find some housewives that are lonely and bored, and you bring them back, you bend them over the freezer, and you let them know the side of the truck was a false advertising, and indeed you're not Mr. Frosty, if you know what I mean, and I think you do. It's fun. You don't have to start work till noon. You work till maybe 6, and in the evening you hang out at a park or you find a firework display, make a few bucks on the side. It's all under the table. It's the best job. Man, I'm saying now, if I don't make it in comedy by 45, look for me in the streets. I'm going to be an ice cream truck driver. And I ain't Mr. Frosty, if you know what I mean. Another thought about ice cream trucks, we're going deep. We're going deep with the trucks that have ice cream in them. It is like symbolic of American culture. Hear me out. Like when I was a kid, like, ice cream trucks were wholesome. There were ice cream trucks selling popsicle sticks of SpongeBob SquarePants. But today I see more ice cream trucks selling THC and some weirdly fun named edibles. And they're selling them to tie-dye t-shirt zombie type of figures. Like, if that doesn't represent the dilapidation of American society, like, I don't know what does. Because that's a clear contrast of what ice cream trucks used to be and what they've morphed into today. And that's troublesome. Let's watch some photos. Episode 39, segment 2. Rocking the glasses, wearing a bandana, being an individual, refusing to be a homogenous rat who only discusses the weather and Netflix and your mortgage rate and inflation. No, 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 no. Here at Verbal Graffiti, we like to expand our membrane and approach topics like the virtues of being an ice cream truck driver and how do you dispose of a pre-owned sex doll. And on deck, we're going to delve into a conspiracy theory surrounding the Royals. And you know the B-Man ain't talking about the baseball team. So let's get into it. This one comes from the subreddit r_headquarters. They just won't leave Princess Kate alone. The new conspiracy theory regarding Kate is this. She and Thomas Kingston had an affair which resulted in a pregnancy. William killed Thomas. Supposedly he attacked Kate too, but they can't seem to agree if she's comatose or dead. William is having an affair with Lady Rose Hanbury. In an effort to cover up the whole sordid tale up, Buckingham Palace is pushing the cancer narrative and using AI generated photos and videos. Kate Middleton is D-E-A-D, dead, buried in a hidden grave right next to Princess Diana, never to be seen ever again. I hope you like Rose because she will be our new queen. Long live King Charles. Is that his name? You know the bee, man. You've been with me 39 episodes. You know, and I know that I have a weakness, a sweet tooth for conspiracy theories. Anytime I hear one, I'll go on a deep dive. I'll waste 3 hours when I should be sleeping and be tired the whole next day. My big one, I think I've mentioned a few times before, is 9/11. Who was involved? Who wasn't? Who were the actors? What was it? What was the purpose of it? You know, I'm up. It's up for debate. Let's just leave it at that. The Vegas shooting, the largest mass shooting in U.S. history, it just seemed to disappear from the news in a few days. The Malaysian airline, the Titanic, the USS Liberty. You have MK Ultra, a Project Paperclip, and of course JFK. I can go on and on, but I think I've brought up enough examples where you know I'm not lying. Conspiracy theories, it's my weakness. I just have fun with them. Like, I love to have fun, and anytime I hear a new conspiracy theory, I'm all for it. And this royal one, full disclosure, I do not like the royal family. I think it's ridiculous that it's still an entity, a thing. I'm not going to shit on British people for having the royal family, because really, like, here in America, we idolize the Kardashians. So who am I to be, you know, pointing my finger at anybody else? But this was when this photo came out, or this painting of King Charles, I think that's his name, and it was all red, like my tinfoil hat came on. Now, I don't think that's actually Kate Middleton's blood, because if you know anything about blood, and that's the reason why I wore this shirt for this episode, it's not red. Like, dried blood is more like brownish, maybe grayish. It's definitely not that bright red. But when you do see that painting, it does confirm that the royal family, the British royal family, is indeed demonic, satanic. Now, some will tell you colonizing India and Africa and part of Western Asia for upwards of 1,000 years is what makes them demonic. You know, I'm not here to talk about history. I'm here to talk about conspiracy theory. So this is just another check on the box that proves the royal family is up to some voodoo. Here, do I believe in the conspiracy theory? Is Kate Middleton dead? Absolutely, 100%. My reasoning for this, when King Charles got cancer, they could not wait to put him out on the balcony and tell everybody that he had cancer. And yet somehow, when Kate Middleton got cancer, she disappeared Christmas 2023, and they waited months to tell us, the public, the minions, the nobodies, that never was, that she has cancer, which that's an odd dichotomy. Why would the king tell us right away he has cancer, but the princess, queen-to-be, they hide that from us? And then there were all these AI photos, and then the thing that really tipped my hand to really think, oh, maybe she is dead, is they showed that video of Kate Middleton around Easter where she was on that wooden bench and there was a reflection of her shirt. It was a striped shirt on the wooden bench. And we know, you know, you don't need to be a brain surgeon to know that things don't reflect off wood. So that there told me, oh, this is an AI video. That is not the real Kate Middleton speaking to the public. They messed around with that video. Now, so at that point, I thought, well, maybe she does have cancer, or maybe there's something going on. But the longer we go without seeing Kate Middleton, the larger the tinfoil hat of not just me, but everybody on the internet. There is actually a subreddit. I wrote it down. Kate Middleton Missing. Kate Middleton Missing is a very active subreddit where people are going in deep into what actually happened to her, what is going on with the royal family. I do kind of believe what was written in this post. I do believe there was an affair between Kate and what's that guy's name? Sorry, I don't know the royal family that well. Kate and Thomas Kingston, whoever that stud is, they were having an affair. Prince William found out about it, had a rage, killed. I don't, I'm sure if he did it himself, but he had somebody kill Thomas. He beat the snot out of Kate. Was she pregnant or not at that moment? I don't know. I know I wasn't in the room, but clearly the royals weren't having it, and you know the whole. So they killed Kate, and the whole thing like hanging over all of this, the unspoken thing is Princess Diana. And I, first of all, I did not like Princess Diana. I thought she kind of looked like a man. I know a lot of people think, oh, she was so beautiful and royal. She kind of looked like a 80s LA Hawaiian surfer with like the short hair and the blonde. Very stale looking to me. But the royals clearly killed Diana. And so, you know, they have that in their history. They have the card in their back pocket if they want to play it. Kate's dead. I'm sorry. If you believe Kate has cancer and she's still alive, you're still wearing a mask and keeping 6 feet away from everybody. Like, I could sell you anything right now. I'm sorry. Kate's dead. The royal family, man. They keep killing, like, the favorite members. Like, Princess Diana was a favorite, even though I didn't like her. Kate Middleton was a favorite. I think the royal family needs to go back to inbreeding. I know that's crass, but that's just how it is. Like, how embarrassing is it to be Princess William now? Like you study history, and it is, your history is your family. Being kings, royals, ruling over the world. And now all you're relegated to playing dress up, to producing a photo, a family photo every Christmas and Easter, and going out onto the balcony of Buckingham Palace and waving at people and doing some dumb charity work. Like, what I want from William, I'm not happy, but if he was evil enough to kill Kate and have a side piece Rose and make her the queen, there is some hope that maybe he will raise some hell and Prince William will go to the House of Commons and take over Parliament and become a king that actually has some power and start rebuilding the British Empire to what it once was. I hope America knocks him down at some point. But I want some passion for my royal family. The British royals, don't stop playing dress up. Like, go for the crown. Like, watch Game of Thrones. Like, even if, what's his name? Who's the other one? Prince William, the younger brother, like, or even George. If George came and killed his dad and he went after the throne, like, come on. This is Game of Thrones. Like, where's some blood? Where's the red wedding? You killed Kate? Okay, allegedly. What's next? Go suck a fat one.